Hello and welcome to Pumped, the Inside Podcast by Schwalbe. I'm your host Tobias Morgan, and I'm talking here with Schwalbe athletes from different disciplines, from downhill to cross country, or from triathlon to road riding. And today I'm talking to Irmo Keitzer. Irmo is a real insider to the cross country and the mountain bike scene, because he is one of the best photographers in the World Cup circuit. We talked about his job and how important it is for him to build trust and a relationship with the riders to produce photos which tell stories. Hey Irmo, thanks a lot for taking the time to do the podcast with us. Where are you right now?
Thanks, Toby. It's my pleasure. I'm at home, actually. One day off in between trefles. So ready to go on an airplane tomorrow, actually, for the first time in many months.
Yeah. And so you're just back from the first World Cups. And now you're already on the way to the airport. Where are you flying to?
I'm going to fly to Madeira tomorrow.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing in Madeira?
I'm gonna, together with a friend of mine, we're going to provide the video for the Trans Madeira.
Ah, okay. Great. So that sounds like a really great trip. So I never been to Madeira, but I heard so much good stuff. And
Me neither.
It's definitely on my bucket list.
Yeah. It was on mine as well. So it's going to be the best office possible, probably.
So you are specialized in cross-country World Cup pictures. How did you get behind the camera in this sport?
It's a long story, so it depends on where you want to start, actually. if you take it all the way back to when I started photography, when I was 7, I lived in Canada with my parents, and we were walking in a park, and I found an old Yashica compact camera on a bench. Mm-hmm. And so I found that thing, and I had showed my parents, and they were like, "Ah, yeah, but you found it, so we gotta hand it over to police." And there were a couple of police officers patrolling the park, so I had to give it to them. But then they looked at the camera, and it was like duct taped together, so it was like an old, beaten camera. And they said, "Like, hey, kid, you keep it." So that's basically the camera with which my photography started, because ever since I've been taking photos.
Okay.
And if you don't. Fast forward, my internship I did in London, so I did a lot of photography there. My internship was actually not related to photography at all. I did hotel management, but that photography was already a big part of my life, and so was mountain biking. So at that time, those two combined. I started a website called Adrenaline Sports because I had too many hobbies, basically. So we did surfing, snowboarding, skateboarding, and mountain biking. And that website hit off quite big. So people started contacting me about purchasing photos. And a couple of years later, I found myself working 50-50. So I had a job and I had my photography. And then all of a sudden, Shimano contacted me about wanting to purchase a certain photo on a World Cup. That photo was taken, by the way. So that was already when I was shooting World Cups. Mm-hmm. So then I thought, like, okay, that's cool. Shimano, so I should try to fish that in as a client. And I decided to basically try to get more than just a photo sale. So my whole strategy was like, okay, I'm going to just go for a crazy price for that one photo, but with the aim of getting a contract for the year. So that's what I did. And he said, like, that's a bit steep for the photo, but... Well, we're interested in like working with you for the complete year, so let us know what your price will be. And then I put in a price for the year, and then the first offer they took, and basically I quit my job, and I was back in 2006. And then I became a full-time pro photographer.
Great. So that's a pretty cool story, starting with this little beaten-up camera to... Yeah, quit your job and being full-time professional photographer. So sometimes I bet it's not an easy job shooting mountain bikes. So are you shooting just mountain bikes or do you shoot still other sports as well?
My 90% of my business is shooting mountain bike. Okay. So in that regard, I've been super lucky. I do some stuff, other stuff time to time, but mountain biking just keeps me busy all year, basically. So it's a good thing.
Yeah. And what fascinates you on this sport?
Sorry, say again?
What fascinates you on mountain biking? Why are you shooting mountain biking?
Well, to me, mountain biking is about a lot of things. Like the reason I like mountain biking is nature, first of all, mm-hmm. getting to beautiful places so that can be local or wherever you go. And then there's the skills involved and the physique involved. So I like going up and down, both of it. And I've always preferred technical riding as well. And then shooting that, so just making it like basically portraying what you're doing on photo came naturally.
Yeah. Okay. So I think as a hobby mountain biker or as a mountain biker, it's so much easier to shoot good mountain bike photos than someone from the outside because you understand.
Yeah, definitely.
The movement and the action so much better than someone who is not into mountain biking. So, and I think.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what looks good and what position looks good on the bike and what is possible and what's not possible.
Yeah. You just finished the first races of the season. How exciting is it for you to start in a new season after a long winter and you don't know really who's coming out of the winter super fit and who's struggling?
Well, it's the start of the season is always funny, eh? So like this season, of course, is totally different with regard to the whole COVID situation. Mm-hmm. But normally it's just a good thing to just see everyone because that's also the good part about mountain biking, be it downhill or cross country. That is, it's a small family. Yeah. So the first races, you just spent a lot of time talking to everyone and catching up on everyone. And yeah, there is a race, but it's almost like it's the second most important thing instead of the most important thing. And of course, everyone is racing, you know, but it does like that is not the most exciting part to me. Mm-hmm. Then again, of course, it is good to see, especially your friends and your clients. It's cool if they do good. And it's always a wait and see. Eh? But that's also the good part about mountain biking, that competition is so close and that makes it exciting.
Yeah. As you said, this year is completely different with COVID situation and a really long winter break and not so many off-season mm-hmm. races. Is there something which or someone who surprised you in the first races, who came out really strong or did something completely surprising?
Well, if you look at the women's field, there's a couple. Loana Leconte, of course, a French girl who's just ripping the field apart, it seems. So mm-hmm. she's in the elite category now and just winning. So that's pretty amazing. Hayley Batten's also been doing really well in the women's field. The men's field's also been quite cool with Victor Koreski taking his first win. And for the first time in a long time, basically, it's not Nino dominating the field.
Yeah.
So that's quite cool.
It's so cool that there is, again, a real battle. And not everyone is waiting until Nino starting the attack and then he wins. So it seems
like totally, man.
It's really racing again. That's really cool to watch.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like, full respect for Nino, like the way he's training and his attitude, you know, it's super profi. But I think in general, it's not good if someone just dominates seasons long. So it's great to see other guys just putting it all in.
Definitely, definitely, yeah. So your job has a lot to do with organization. So to being in the right time at the right place and take the right picture. Is it more difficult in the beginning of the season to plan your race than in the end of the season because you don't know who will come out in front or who will be attacking and some stuff?
It I don't think there's a difference there, actually. You just read the race and you know the course, and that also, like, being a mountain biker yourself helps you to know what's possible where and when someone will attack, you know? Mm-hmm. So you try to read the race and base your decisions upon that and just go for certain spots because you know for like 90% certainty to get a certain rider at a certain spot, or something will happen at a certain spot. So that's the way you plan, basically. And you always, you know, I prefer spots which look good, so a bit more natural, instead of like a place which is full of banners and stuff and where you just have the rider as being the action. So I prefer to show the actual mountain biking where you're at. So that's also, that plays a big role in how you plan where to go and stuff.
Yeah. So as a racer, it's, of course, it's super hard on a Sunday, but as a photographer, it's also incredible hard to carrying all that stuff through the roads and running from spot A to spot B. What does a perfect Sunday race looks like for you?
A perfect Sunday race to me would be, first of all, not having four races in a row, because like if you have a double World Cup, then you'll have four races in a row, which is tough. So two races in a day is fine, it's great, and then you can also live a bit and eat and drink, which is nice. Then, so perfect race, I'd say, is just full on racing. So like full on action, not someone just racing in front and just owning the race, but like fierce competition, and then you just having to run everywhere, making the right decisions to go somewhere, not getting harassed by wrong instructed marshals, what you can and cannot do. Mm-hmm. And just basically just having a super nice day, because it is, in the end, it is like you go into an overdrive, but it is super nice as well when it all comes together. Mm-hmm. And when you get all your shots and your clients are happy, super cool.
And when do you start in the morning and when do you finish in the afternoon or in the night at the race day? Because most of your clients want the pictures on the same day, right?
Yeah. That also depends on how well they do. So if, like, for example, with all my clients, I have a deal together with my my partner, by the way, who is Andreas Dobslav, a German photographer. So mm-hmm. we always do the World Cups together. So we always have to deal, like, if you finish on podium, you'll get the first shots within 15 minutes. So one of us will go off and send the first images while the other one might get the podium or start the other race. Because if there's four races, there's no way you can send it out and be at the start of the next race.
Yeah.
So that's also the good thing about like teaming up. Yeah, it's a sign of time, right? Like nowadays people want it as fast as possible.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like in the print days, like you would have some time and you could chill out and then process your images, but that era has gone.
Yeah.
And so now normally if I walk you through a full day, if you have four races, like in the upcoming race in Liaogang, you'll have four races on a day. So basically you get up at 7, you shoot action till about 4:35 in the afternoon, and you'll be done, if you're quick, around midnight.
So that's a
And that's not fully day. Done, by the way. That's just that's just the first batch of everything.
Yeah. So that's a pretty long day. And then when you come home, you start editing the other pictures, or is it the next day that you have to have everything ready?
So again, clients will want the full selection basically of the World Cups, so that any remaining images will go out the next day. And then what I'll do when we get back to the office is everything's getting digested into the server, everything's getting backed up, so all the, like, the basically the shit photos go out, the rest remains in the database for clients and also future clients. So everything gets tagged, the names get put in, all that kind of stuff, and then the World Cup is done.
Yeah, okay. So what also changed from the print days, where you had these glossy finish pictures and all that stuff, that these days you're shooting a lot of different pictures during the day, And it's just a small amount which is shot during the race. And there's so much before and after the race, because when we see your pictures, they tell stories. And the most stories happens before and after the race. How do you manage to come so close to the athletes to really capture these emotions?
Basically, like, we know every single one. So, like, I know everyone I shoot for. I talk to them, you know, you have a good relationship with them. So, like, almost all my clients I work with, like, for example, take the Ghost team, you know, it's one of the clients, and we go to the training camp, and I go on the bike with them. So you have different relationship, right? It's not like you're a press photographer who shows up and take photos. So you are close to them and you take photos, and that tells a story. So it makes it a lot easier for all of us. It's also like a matter of trust, right? Because you don't stick your camera in their faces when you know it's really not done.
Yeah.
And they know, so they also trust you, and that's a big part of it, I guess. Like, the whole trust and keeping your distance when you have to keep a distance, and knowing when to get close when you can get close.
Yeah. Are there differences between the athletes? If there's someone who likes to being photographed, or someone who's
for
not,
sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, for sure. That also, like, say some athletes, they are really focused on their sport, like on their own performance, and there's everything which like plays a role besides the race is not important to them.
Yeah.
So basically, for them, it's all about the race. It's all about their performance, and they tend to be a bit more nervous, and they want to spend as little as time as possible on everything else.
Mm-hmm.
But I must say, like, most know that there's a lot more than just racing. It's like, for example, you know, if you race and you're on the podium, all's good, right? You get attention, you'll get your publications. But as soon as you don't get that result, what's left? And if you only focus on results and don't do anything else, basically, you're gone.
Yeah. So other athletes are aware of that pictures and emotions are a really important thing for marketing and sponsorships, and it's not, if you're winning, that's fine, but that was the last 5 days, that was just Nino, and but there is so much more you can do with the athlete, which is medium, but it's good on a camera and really have the important stories. Are they aware of that?
Oh yeah, definitely. There are some athletes who are really aware of that, and they, you know, they show that, and also like show the downsides of being on a World Cup and not performing, and, you know, injuries and crashes and all that stuff. So I think that's actually a really good thing, because it shows your character, and it shows not the rosy social media image, you know, like, because it's not all fun and all glory. There's a big downside sometimes, you know, and everyone has their ups and downs. And if you portray that, I think is a really powerful thing, because life is about stories.
Yeah, definitely. Who's your favorite athlete to take pictures of? Who's doing the best job on the races?
Boy, there's a lot of people who do a good job, I think. I don't have a favorite. If recently, as an example, though, if you look at Isla Short, I think the way she communicates is really cool. Like, it's open and it's honest and it's not putting up anything just for social, and, you know, I think it's like, look at her couple of last posts. She's not going through the best period now, and I think it's just really cool that she's so honest about it.
Yeah. So this is real. It's not just happy days.
It's real.
Yeah. I really like that. And it's always good if you have a photographer on your side who can document the ups and downs in the best way. So this is great. So how much equipment do you carry through the woods on a race day, and how much it hurts your back?
Well, that's actually quite a good question, because, like, So I used to take everything I had on my back, like literally everything. And especially when I was still shooting downhills, you know, like walking down the hill with a full pack on is quite heavy. Mm-hmm. So then, but basically as I got more experience in, and then you also tend to get more messy the more stuff you bring. So you tend to just like, let's try another lens and let's try another lens and put up flashes and blah, blah, blah. So nowadays I often look at a course and decide on what to do prior to going out. And I'll just take two or three lenses plus my camera. So I have two cameras, but one more serves as a backup than as a second shooter. And that's it. So that also makes me more mobile and faster to get to spots. Plus you tend to look at the spots better because you don't just switch lenses and you just take more care before taking a shot.
Yeah. And what camera system do you use these days?
I've got a Canon mirror camera, so a mirror flex camera plus a mirrorless camera, so an R5 and a 1D.
But you're still shooting with the mirror camera, even if it's so much bigger and heavier than the mirrorless cameras.
Yeah, okay. Because it's just super reliable.
Yeah, and to be honest, I really like the sound. If you're shooting on the 1D, it makes a great sound. So yep. Much better than the mirrorless,
yeah, definitely.
So Sunday is just the tip of the iceberg of the whole weekend or the whole World Cup week. When do you come to the venue and when do you start to look at spots and all that stuff, and when do you start to shoot the first pictures?
Okay, so here's also a difference compared to the situation now with COVID and non-COVID. Because we have the bubbles. So there's basically the team bubble and there's the press bubble. If you're in the press bubble now, you cannot do anything besides shooting the race, basically.
Okay.
So for now, for example, because there's only very limited spots with the green bibs, which is the team spots, we split up in order to get everything possible for clients, because like press has got other privileges as well. So one of us gets the team images, the other gets the basically the press images. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to talk team now because that's the stuff we love to do and we normally do. So fuck COVID and let's talk normal. So normally we'd get in about Thursday, so a day prior to the sprint race. And we just go to the teams and, you know, everyone will be shoot and we shoot behind the scenes stuff, whatever happens. It's not, you know, most of the stuff is reality. It's not staging anything. Mm-hmm. So that goes on Friday as well. And then up until the race, where you follow the guys just before the race and get some behind the scenes images, get the emotions. And then race is pretty easy, actually. And then you shoot the race and up to the next day.
And on the race, do you know exactly, do you have planned all the shots you like to do? Do you walk the course and have checked every angle you like to shoot before the first before your first time really shoot a rider?
Oh, well, the thing is, sometimes I'll make that plan in my head, I never write anything down or anything. But then as the race develops, basically, you think like, no, let's just do this. And you go to another space. Yeah. So it's often just wait and see. And that's actually a part which has gotten a bit easier now with no public. Because normally you'll have to wrestle your way through, you know, many spectators and try to get somewhere. And then someone blocks your shot and it's gone. Nowadays, with no public, no spectators, you can take whatever angle you want and everything will work, basically. So that at least got easier. Yeah. But just to answer your question, like, I'll make a rough plan and I'll know where to go from the start. And then it's just a matter of reading the race and deciding on the go.
Okay. Yeah, interesting. Because I yeah, it's when you see the Red Bull broadcast, you always see the photographers running on this side on the track, and it's always super interesting to not look on the athlete, look on the side on the track. Because there's so much going on with all the photographers and camera people. It's it's super. It looks super stressful.
Yeah. It's sometimes it is. If you think, because you know, sometimes you're so into it and you lose count of how many laps you go, and then one of your clients is up front, so you need to get to the finishing time.
Yeah.
Then it's like it can be a bit stressful, but well, it's a running game basically. And like the funny thing is, so last year we like as a like all the photographers we decided to put on Strava for the race days just to see like the amount of kilometers you walk.
Mm-hmm.
And like of course it depends on the photographer, but like on so I'd say you'll have a Sunday with four races like I just said, you easily walk 20 kilometers. So it's quite a Whoa. Distance as well.
Yeah. And then with the heavy backpack and all that stuff and going up and down.
Yeah, it's good training.
Yeah. So these days, pretty much everyone carries a camera with him, even if it's just on the phone. Everyone likes to bring home good pictures from their bike adventures, bike trips, or hiking trips. So what's the best tip for a mountain biker to take good pictures, even on a cheap camera or on on the smartphone camera?
Composition. That's the only thing that matters. Like the camera is really, of course camera helps, but in the end, if you don't have a good composition and it doesn't portray where you're at or the story you want to tell, that's just all there is to it, right? So it's composition and the right moment, those two things.
Okay, so when we're talking about composition, yeah, for someone who don't know what it is, and normally shooting on the just with the phone from the hand, doing a without any layers or something. Can you explain what composition means?
For sure. Like say you're riding, your rider is on on a cliff's edge, and you have this crazy ravine on your left hand side, and you have the woods on your right hand side. So say you take a photo of the rider, but it only shows the rider, then it's might be a good photo of a rider, but it doesn't show the environment, right? It doesn't show why you're excited about it. So if you move close to the ravine and you actually see the ravine veering off into the left, but you still see the woods on the right and your rider somewhere in there, then you'll have a story to tell. Then you show the environment and you have composition.
Yeah. So it's and all about the...
So how you place... Yeah.
It's all about the story you tell with the pictures.
Yeah, and it's about making it look interesting at the same time. So there might be a cool dead tree lying on the ground. If you put that in front of the rider, it might be super cool. Well, if you leave it out, it's just a picture, you know?
Yeah. Ah, it's great, yeah. Your job involves a lot of traveling. I mean, you're going to Madeira now and you've seen so many different countries. But what's your favorite country or your favorite, region?
Ooh, that's another, like so many friends ask me this question as well, and like it's so hard to answer because there's so many, like if you're a biker, you know, there's so many cool trails you've ridden, but each has got its own character. So it might be the people or a city nearby or everything combined, which is really cool. So I've already told you, like, so I lived in Canada when I was 7, right? So I really like Canada, and that's a mix of, like, really expensive nature, which we don't have here where I live.
Yeah.
But also the people and the culture, so that's a mix. So if I need to pick anything, I would go for Canada.
Yeah.
Canada is a big country once again, but there's great riding in Quebec, and there's great riding in British Columbia, of course, so... But then again, there's also great riding here in Maastricht on my doorstep, which is totally different, but it's super cool as well.
Yeah. I mean, Canada, I agree. So it's a combination of the nature, the trails, and the people. because people people makes it so much better than just the landscape or something. With it's again with people you you experience stories.
Yeah,
and
totally.
this is so cool. For me, the best trips I have done always it happened something with locals or that makes a trip really, really great. And what's on top of your bucket list?
Iran is high on my bucket list. Iran.
Ah, okay. Nice.
And there's a couple of reasons for that, because like one is, you know, you get this image portrayed in the media about a country, and you know, if you travel, you know, it's not like the way you'll see it or like you perceive it. So I'd love to go to Iran and really go with locals and experience, like it's a bike story, but it goes beyond biking, right?
Yeah.
The bike is a tool to bring you there, but it's not about the biking actually.
Yeah.
So that's on my list. But the thing take a travel like Iran. So we'll have the World Cup finals in the United States. If you travel to Iran, then travel to the United States, no way you'll get in.
Yeah.
It's not so that makes it more challenging.
Yeah.
But then, luckily, you can get two passports. So I'll have to get a second passport and then just go to Iran on one passport and then take the other one to the United States.
Yeah, so you have to cheat a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, you have to just make it work in the system, eh?
Yeah. Everyone has a picture or a photographer in mind who inspired them to go out and do your stuff. Do you have anything in mind, or a certain picture or a photographer who really gets you fired up to go to the next World Cup or go to a country and do a portrait of the country?
I guess I'm a bit different in this regards. Like, I don't have a single person who I look up to. I'll there's people taking great photos, but I always try to do my own thing. And sure, you get inspired by others, always.
Mm-hmm.
There is, back when I got started, there were a couple of guys whose photos I saw and who I felt stood out. And one of them was Gary Perkins, South African photographer.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really interesting about Gary, I think, is that he always found cool angles. You'd be in this boring environment and you think, like, shit, what should I do? And then you look at Gary's photos and you're like, ah, okay, I could have done that. So that was really cool. And then also, this other guy, now I forgot his name even. I saw him yesterday still. Sometimes flash, I'll go in general. Like, flash to me is you can use it in commercial shoots for sure, and you can use it in World Cup photography. But like some guys use it really subtly,
mm-hmm.
and just to enhance a photo. So that's something I sometimes look at and think like, okay, that's well done in a non-flashy way.
Yeah. Ah, okay. This year is a really special one with the Olympics coming up, hopefully.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I can't ask the athletes, but I can ask you, who is doing, mm-hmm. who is in the best form this year, who will win the Olympics? I know that's a tough question, but maybe you have a little insight.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting for sure, because there's the course is also quite hectic in Tokyo. I'd actually go in the women's field. I'll go for Kate Courtney.
Really?
Yeah, and not that there is certainty and not that she's been doing the best so far, but just the way she is motivated, she motivates herself and the effort she puts in. I think she, plus her capabilities, of course, I think she is one definitely not to be underestimated.
Yeah. And in Mansfield?
In the Mansfield, it's going to be super interesting because, you know, like, never underestimate Nino, especially now that he's not been winning. So he'll be fired up to have another go at it. But I might just go for Matthias Flückiger.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Ah, that would be interesting, yeah? Cool.
Well, so the funny thing about Matthias, right, he's a super technical, super skilled rider, and he's got a physique. Sometimes you get a bit overexcited and blows himself up, but I think if everything comes together with him, fuck, he can rip it apart.
Yeah. Yeah? Yeah, that's true. I mean, he's really a really, really good technical rider, and yeah. Imo, thanks a lot for your time and for the podcast. Super interesting. And I wish you all the best for this season. A lot of good pictures and now a good trip to Madeira.
You're welcome, Toby. Thanks a lot for having me, eh?
Thanks. Bye-bye.
Cheers.